I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Well, thanks very much for joining me once again. In a few moments, I'll be taking you with me to a place I can just catch a glimpse of from my office window. That's if I push my gaze beyond the plush green of my colleague Carol's all-too-flourishing hibiscus. It's a place of memory for the English in Rome, yet one largely unknown to the average English who come to Rome today. Eager as they are to reach St. Peter's Basilica, they leave it behind, ignoring. As I did myself, until historian Stella Fletcher made up for this failing. Join me as she takes me on a guided tour there.
Yes, it's linked to the English in two ways. First of all, back in the period that many people regard as the Dark Ages, but that those who know anything about it regard as the Light Ages. Back in that period, this was the site of the so-called Schola Saxonum, the hospice of the Saxons, by which they meant the English. This is the time of Alfred the Great. There's already at that stage a great number of English pilgrims coming to Rome, and they need somewhere to stay. So they stayed here until there was a fire. It was said by the Romans that the English caused the fire themselves, and the whole thing burnt down. Then, in the high medieval period, Pope Innocent III built a hospital on this site. And indeed, we are standing in a hospital ward, believe it or not. Now, does it look much like a hospital ward to you?
It looks more like a church because of all the frescoes.
Yes, there are frescoes, and we've got a building here, a long, long building with two wards. This might have been the male or the female ward, I can't remember. But in the middle, there's an altar. The idea being that all the patients in their beds could see the altar from wherever they were. Now, I mentioned that the hospital was originally founded by Innocent III in the high medieval period, but it was refounded in the 1470s by Pope Sixtus IV. Indeed, he provided lots of money for the hospital and initiated a book in which people signed to support the hospital and made donations to the hospital. Anyway, the other English connection comes in this time, the time of Sixtus IV. And indeed, all the paintings, the frescoes that we see up there between the windows are of Sixtus and his court, his family, his nipoti, his nephews. Now, where's the English connection in all that? It so happened that an Englishman called Robert Fleming, who was a great scholar, came to Rome in the mid-15th century as the king's ambassador, his proctor. In the 1470s, Robert Fleming returned. He was again in Rome between 1473 and 1477, exactly the time when Sixtus was having this hospital rebuilt. During Fleming's time in Rome, there was a plague. In fact, there always was plague in the summer months. And the whole of the papal court in 1473 went off into the hills. They went to Tivoli. And Fleming went with them. While up at Tivoli, Fleming wrote this long poem, Lucubrati Unculi Tributinae, which told of the early life of Pope Sixtus. Much of it was already mythology, even in the Pope's lifetime, and it was that poem which provided a lot of the material for these frescoes.
Right up there.
Including the one that we've got just in front of us there, which shows Sixtus refounding the Vatican Library. He's there with his nephew, Giuliano della Rovere, who became Pope Julius II early in the next century. In fact, they're pretty poor frescoes in many ways. And in that one in particular, we can see that the figures have just been copied from a more famous fresco by Melozzo da Forlì, which is now in the Vatican Art Gallery.
It's not the grand library that we have today in the Vatican, is it?
Oh, no, no, indeed. Of course, that part of the Vatican wasn't built until the 16th century, and a purpose-built library was built at that stage so that the expanding collection could be housed. Yes, that new library, the library where I work most days here, is a late 16th century building. But originally, in the mid-15th century, Pope Nicholas V set aside two or three rooms in the old part of the palace, near the Torre Borgia. It's a sort of higgledy-piggledy area. And he was to house his library there. He was a genuine man of letters. One room was devoted to Greek books, one to Latin books. I'm not sure what was going to go in the other one. I doubt it was going to be the vernacular. Perhaps that was the room for the librarian. Anyway, Sixtus came along a few years later, decided that libraries were good things to be into, and it made you look good if you patronised a library, if you founded a library. So he refounded the Vatican Library. It had already been perfectly well founded by Nicholas V. And there's Sixtus with his librarian and his nephews, and we can probably just make out some desks with books on, because in the late medieval, early modern period, books tended to be kept chained to desks. Don't suppose, as far as I can see, I don't doubt they are chained. In fact, they probably weren't, because you could borrow books from the Vatican Library. And the librarian who is pictured up there, Bartolomeo Platina, did indeed start a book in which he recorded who had borrowed what, and indeed when they returned the books, if they ever returned them at all.
Well, I very much hope you enjoyed that tour of the Scuola Saxonum with historian Stella Fletcher. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.